One guy who's ahead of, no, two guys. Ira, you too. I know you're thinking about Susie already.
Oh, I thought you were getting. I thought you were getting me pro flowers for Valentine's Day.
I know, Dooley. Dooley, man, you if you're like us, you know, you got so many other things that are going on with work. You know, you got to make it. You got to make it a point. You got to put it in your schedule to account for, to pay homage to the other people in your life.
I'm a lucky man, so I better. I have to come up strong at these moments, these special moments. So, for my wife Jessica, who's very patient with me and all the things that I've got going on. So.
Well, Dooley, you certainly do have a lot of things going on, man. If it's, you know, we know about mvictors.com, a great site, a unique blog. If you haven't checked it out, you get something there that you just don't get anywhere else, and that's a historical perspective on all things Michigan. You also do so. You do the same thing for Go Blue Wolverine magazine. Come to, now, you're doing it, sounds like, for the Big Ten Network.
Well, they've of course got the Tom Harmon is their Big Ten icon coming up this Sunday, number 5. It was announced this week, and yeah, they contacted me recently because they needed a few more voices and a little more context on who Harmon was and what he did here at Michigan, and they asked me to sit down in front of the camera for about 20 minutes and ask me some questions. So I might appear this Sunday in the show.
How cool was it?
So wait, if he says he might appear, so you're either in the episode or you're on the floor somewhere.
What's that now?
You're either in the episode or you're on the cutting room floor, one of the two.
Yeah, one of the two. But hopefully, if nothing else, I taught them a couple things that either Keith Jackson or someone will say. But I think I might be on there. But it was pretty – you know, what's funny is my first reaction is they set it up like a guy is interviewing you and he's sitting about 15 feet away. Mm-hmm. And my first reaction was, man, this is not like radio, because I realize what they're doing. They're looking for small sentences of information about Harmon. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm conscious of that. So mm-hmm. I'm talking to him and trying to be natural. And the other thing is, I'm not a biographer, so I know a lot of cool facts, certainly mm-hmm. more, I think, than most, you know, just because mm-hmm. I've written about Harmon a lot. But I don't know the complete story. So they're asking me some questions I don't know the answer to, you know. So it was interesting, but it was very cool. Yeah, they filmed it in the big house in one of the suites on the east side of the stadium. It was a definitely unique experience.
So give us I don't want you to give away everything that you talk to them about, so people watch it. First of all, when is it going to air?
Well, I believe it's going to air at 2:30. It normally airs at 9 o'clock at night, but of course this Sunday is what?
Super Bowl.
Right. So I don't think too many people are going to be tuning over to the Big Ten Network at 9. So they're going to air it at 2:30. First, and then they're going to re-air it at the normal time.
Okay.
So, and you can always catch it on demand if you have that feature, of course.
So, give us an example of some of the things that you lent, not everything, but some of the things that you lent to the broadcast on Tom Harmon.
Sure. So, I don't know how much they knew about Harmon in high school, and I know a little bit just from digging around. And you got to understand, it's no surprise, but the guy was just one of those like Benny Oosterbaan like. Phenomenal, off the charts athletes, and in a day when recruiting wasn't anywhere like it is, absolutely, he was someone who you knew about. Everyone knew about before he even took a snap for Michigan. The Chicago Tribune described him as a star. So consider mm-hmm. that when he's a freshman here, and freshmen didn't play in the varsity back then. So he was a 100-meter track champion, and I think he set the school record in Indiana. In AAU baseball, he threw 3 no hitters. Obviously he was excellent at football. He was captain of the basketball team. So he was just off the charts, phenomenal. Another thing is that I don't think a lot of people know, and the story is a little different, but he actually, picked the 98 number when he was in high school. And there's a story behind it. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but basically the coach asked him to grab a uniform and he grabbed a number that was being used by one of the star players in the team. The coach said, "What are you doing? Get back there. You can't have that number." And all that was left was the 98 sitting in a corner, and it was all musty and dirty, and he embraced it. So I think some of those filling in the pieces from when he left Gary, Indiana to Heisman Trophy winning season, I think that's kind of where I kind of fit in a little bit.
I got you. So who were some of the other guys aside from you that they talked to? I know you talked about it a little bit at the intro, but who were some of the other people they talked to in this episode?
Absolutely. Well, I think the other person they talked to when they asked me to speak was Greg Kinney, the excellent curator at the Bentley Library downtown. And I know they talked to, I believe, to Bruce Made, of course, mm-hmm. and John Bacon.
Okay.
And I'm not sure who else. Yeah, again, because they kind of just fit me in, and I, of course, I haven't seen the finished product. I don't even know if it's done yet, frankly.
We're talking to Greg Dooley from Invictors.com. I'm pretty confident with everything that Dooley brings to the table. Well, you obviously added something unique to the show. I got to believe that they're gonna get you on there. You're going to get a cameo.
Well, the other thing is, and people don't like to talk about this, and Sam, you made this point, is that the closer you get to the program as a fan, you get close. So you see everything. You see some of the warts, and you see a lot of the great things, and it changes your perspective a little bit. And it's the same thing with history. You know, it's not all Rose Bowls and you know, championships and Heismans. There are some warts along the way, and that's one of the things that was kind of going on when they were looking in that era, at the end of Harry Kipke's era. There were some problems, man.
Greg, on your site, you've done some stuff recently about Harmon and possibly going to Tulane or transferring. Talk about some of that stuff, because there's some pretty interesting things that had gone on back in the 30s and 40s that a lot of fans don't really know.
Yeah, so keep in mind, Harry Kipke won back-to-back national championships in 1932 and 1933. 1934, Gerald Ford's senior year, it was kind of a mess, okay? And then that started a string of the worst three-year stretch. And still to this day.
So it was worse than this one that we heard that we just saw the worst 3 year stretch, but
not correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this in fact, 34 to 36, those 3 years, and 35 to 37 were actually worse percentage wise on the field. And not only that, you want to talk about controversy, as in his final year in 1937, Harry Kipke was being investigated for subsidizing players. There was word that there were fake jobs set up for the players. They were accused of practicing. Speaking of practice, practicing at the Ford plant where a lot of the players got jobs in quotes.